Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry is a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Monday afternoon, April the 5th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. For the remainder of this first hour, Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us. We're going to talk about one of the most famous disciples, although he's not among the inner circle. He appears several other times in the gospel accounts. And then finally, I wonder how it came down for him that this man who had probably along with the other disciples, had his share of doubts, his high points of belief and faith in Jesus Christ. And yet in the end, the story that always gets told about him gets told in the context of his doubt, his disbelief. But he wasn't alone among the disciples in their doubt and disbelief. Thomas. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. CPH has a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Pam, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Happy Easter. He's risen.
He's risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Yes, he is. Great to talk to you today.
Why is it so important that this be, and it is, without a doubt, from Jesus' own lips and from all of the accounts of the resurrection appearances, beginning with the disciples minus Thomas, then the disciples plus Thomas, that this is a bodily resurrection?
Well, you're right. Jesus makes a big deal about that, and it is a big deal that this isn't some kind of spiritual resurrection or ghostly resurrection, but this Jesus, who was God, came to earth, took on human flesh, became born a baby that his mother held in her arms, grew up as a man, lived on this earth, a real person, fully human and yet fully God. And then he suffers and dies a very physical death, truly dying in his body, and then truly rising from that death and in his body, new life, new body. And that's all important because that is the promise that his death and resurrection makes for us, that by faith in what he did on the cross for us in our salvation, we will, when we die one day in our bodies, we will receive new bodies from God, and we will have a bodily resurrection, just as Jesus did, and eternal life with him in heaven. It's so crucial. It's so important, and it's so unique, really, to Christianity.
So Thomas perhaps is guilty not so much of being alone in his doubts and disbelief, but of kind of being persnickety about it. Talk about how Thomas finds himself with the title Doubting Thomas.
Well, yeah, it's interesting, and you're right. He gets the bad rap as if he's the only one post-resurrection that doubted Jesus' resurrection. Excuse me. But here we find in John chapter 20, the disciples are gathered, and it says on the evening of that day, the first day of the week. This is Easter Sunday. In the evening, the disciples are all locked behind a door. They're afraid. They're afraid that what has happened to Jesus will happen to them as his followers. Jesus comes to them They see him, and Thomas isn't there. So he misses this big appearance, bodily appearance, seeing his Lord, and he hears about it from the others. And that's not good enough for him. He says, you know, unless I see him, unless I can see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. He wants to be certain. And so then 8 days later, they're all gathered again, and this time Thomas isn't missing. He's with them. And the text points out again that although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. Peace be with you. And then he says to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. So Jesus right away addressed the doubts that Thomas had, didn't chastise him for it. He just very matter-of-factly, here I am, here they are, touch and believe. Don't disbelieve. Beautiful story. And immediately Thomas answers him, my Lord and my God, confesses his faith fully in those five little words, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus says, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And just a few verses here, we have this amazing account of Jesus appearing after Easter in body, alive.
So how should we rightly understand what Jesus says to Thomas that makes it sound as though, well, it makes it sound as though those who have not seen and yet believed, which would include pretty much everyone else, outside those who witnessed Jesus standing before them after his resurrection, which would number, you know, less than just a little more than 500 people.
Yeah.
By that account, what does he mean when he says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe?
Well, it doesn't mean that Thomas isn't blessed or that the others who saw him aren't blessed, but it's speaking to all of those who in faith believe from that day until now and until Christ comes again. We're in that number. Blessed, we believe without seeing. We haven't seen the resurrected Jesus. We didn't get what Thomas got or the other disciples. It is a blessing. It doesn't mean they weren't blessed, but it is a blessing that we have eyes of faith and believe. And this, all of it is a blessing from God that we're even able to believe. But it's speaking about us. It's speaking about all of Christendom beyond those 500 who were so privileged to see him post-resurrection.
How is the resurrection is that thing for St. Paul that sets it apart from all other religious claims. And
yeah.
I think Paul will say, if the resurrection did not happen, there's no sense in believing any of this stuff at all. And yet Christ has been raised from the dead. How important is the resurrection to Christianity? And how does it compare with other religious claims outside Christianity, as far as you can tell?
Well, to not agree with Paul is to not agree with God, his word that says this is the central thing. This is what matters. And, you know, great, we have this little baby born in a stable, and great that he grows up and teaches and does miracles and all of these things. But without him doing what he came to do, to suffer and die on the cross in payment for the sins of the whole world, without him doing that and then rising to new life, what is the point? Because we're still stuck then in our sins. We're still stuck in this broken down world because of sin. We really don't have much at all because Jesus left, right? He went back up to heaven. And if this isn't real, if this didn't happen, it's a most miserable life that we have, and there's no hope for a future. But if he did rise, if he really did die and he really did come back to life, then we have that hope as he promised. And it is the greatest thing in Scripture and perhaps the hardest thing to believe. And I was just talking with some people the other day who were questioning me about the days of creation, about Jonah and the whale, and some of these, you know, larger-than-life stories that are hard to take as fact. And I said, well, you know, tell me, do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus? Do you believe that he really rose from the dead and stood among the disciples alive in his body? Well, yeah. And I said, well, then, if you can believe that, all the rest of it is less of a thing to believe. This is the toughest, and it's the one that matters. This is where our faith is grounded for our lives, for our resurrection from the dead, for eternity.
So how should we regard ourselves in the account that we're faced with here? First, Jesus appears to the disciples minus Thomas, then 1 week later with Thomas. He's appeared to him. Thomas goes from doubt to belief with the word of Jesus and confesses Jesus to be his God. Where do we fit into that story as we head into this break? About a minute to respond.
Well, sure. It, just following the story, there's two verses, and it's captioned here, the purpose of this book. Now, Jesus did many other things in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That's where we fit. These things are recorded for us who didn't get to see, who weren't there at the miracles, who didn't see him die, who didn't see him after he rose. These things are written that we may believe, and we fall into that. God's word, true and real and given to us that we might believe.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. It's Monday afternoon, April the 5th. When we come back, 10 more minutes with her talking about doubting Thomas. We should call him believing Thomas because he was only doubting for a short time. And then, having seen what the rest of the disciples had seen, having heard what the rest of the disciples had heard, he believes. And it's the same way with each and every one of us, isn't it? We'll talk about those words with which Jesus first greets his disciples on that Easter evening and the week later when Thomas is there among them. On the other side of the break, you can join us, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Email us right here in the studio. We get your questions or comments in real time. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc.
That you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of an Easter and Ascension sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Ascension Day, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Easter and Ascension sermons.
All theology is Christology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio. First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas. Concordia Lutheran, Sykeston, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois, Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama, and Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal, issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300. We're talking about Jesus appearing to Thomas and the other disciples. 10 more minutes in this hour of Issues, Etc. In the second hour of the program, Dr. John Morris will join us for the Institute for Creation Research. We'll talk about another reported discovery of a missing link in human evolution. They say a bridge between ape man and man ape. What's the difference between those two? Pastor Bill Swirla will join us to reconcile some of the apparent disparities between the various accounts of the resurrection in the four Gospels as we find them in the New Testament. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. Pam, the words with which Jesus greets his disciples when he appears after his resurrection, peace be with you. Talk about those.
Oh, wonderful words. That's what Jesus gives. That's what he brings. That's what he makes possible for them, with him, with God, for us, with our God. This incarnate Son of God, Jesus, poured out his precious blood on the cross. They had seen that, and in that pouring of his blood, shedding of it on the cross, he made peace between God and man. Colossians speaks of that in the first chapter. And this is what Jesus came to do, and it links back, as we've talked about so many times, to those Old Testament sacrifices, all the things that we've read about and talked about, God bringing this plan to save people, making good on the promise he made in the garden, restoring the peace that was broken in the garden by Adam and Eve. Now it's restored, not because of man, but because of God in his love who sends his son, Jesus, to die on the cross. He restores all of that. And so those are the sweetest post-Easter words, peace be with you. And it's true. The disciples can have that peace. We can have that peace because of what Jesus did.
You make a comparison between John's account where Jesus appears and breathes on them, gives them the Holy Spirit, commissions them to forgive sins in his name, with Genesis chapter 2, part of the creation account. What is that connection?
Well, sure. In this text that we're studying this week in Sunday school, where Jesus is first with the disciples without Thomas there, he says, peace be with you. And then he says, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Now think back to that creation account and how God breathed in and spoke into existence this world, and he breathed the breath of life into Adam, the first person that he created from the dust of the earth. God's Spirit gives life, and you have this real connection here with Jesus breathing on the disciples and giving them his Holy Spirit and giving them the power, giving the church the power to forgive sins and to withhold them. Life-giving power, really. And it's a very clear connection, don't you think? Back to that time in Genesis when the Spirit hovers over the waters and then God creates the world and breathes the breath of life into Adam.
We have this account of Jesus in his resurrection, and then, of course, we can hardly stop there. There is, while this is going on, at least the first appearance of Jesus, or very shortly in conjunction with the first appearance of Jesus before Thomas is there, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Speak briefly about that, if you would.
Sure. You have the Emmaus disciples hoping that Jesus was the one to redeem Israel. That's in that Luke 24 text, hoping that he is the one. But their hope's been disappointed to that point. They didn't see any evidence that the hope was coming true. And yet Jesus finds them on the road, and they understand that he is the one. Just like Thomas, who was hoping that Jesus was the Messiah, but in his unbelief and ignorance, didn't understand what kind of Messiah this would be, what kind of Savior he would be. And all of the disciples went through those kinds of thinkings, as we would have. Knowing everything they knew as good Jewish men growing up in that faith, and yet not quite understanding what Jesus meant as he talked about what would happen and what was to come. And so the same thing is for those Emmaus disciples as Thomas, and that makes, I guess it makes something that we can relate to too, doubting at times, not being sure. And yet Jesus here in this text really helps all of us to not focus on Thomas's doubt, but on trusting in Jesus, in the Word of God that he gives us, trusting in the things that he gives us to see, to hear, to taste, to touch, his Word preached and proclaimed, his name given to us in the baptism through the water and the Word, the forgiveness of sins given to us through bread and wine and God's Word. God understands, as he has from the beginning, how our minds work and what causes us to doubt in our sinfulness, and that we need things to hold on to. We need things to see, to touch, and he gives us these things that we need to keep our faith strong. And so we aren't left without anything on this Easter Monday. He gives us his Word, and we have these accounts of these Easter appearances. We have all of his miracles, all of the Old Testament miracles, all of that God gave us. We still have, and he will preserve until Jesus comes again, so that we might believe and be saved.
When you were in church yesterday for Easter Sunday, was the risen Christ there too?
Absolutely. He was there in the Word preached, in the Lord's Supper that was given. He's where his people gather around the Word and the Sacrament. He was there. And one day we'll be with him in heaven and see him face to face. But he's with us now through his Word and his sacraments, risen, alive, forgiving, and loving us.
What is the difference between Thomas, I will not believe unless I see and touch, and Thomas, my Lord and my God?
Well, the difference is that he did then confess his faith. He saw his Lord and proclaimed his faith, and Jesus knew what Thomas needed. He knew he needed to see him, and, you know, he appears that week later, and the first thing he says, that's what's recorded here. Jesus appears, and he looks to Thomas and says, touch me, go ahead, you know, stick your hand in my side, touch my hands. He understands what Thomas needs. He understands what we need so that we might believe that he is the Son of the living God, the Savior, the one who guarantees that we will rise from the dead bodily and live forever in heaven with him. That was Thomas's statement of faith, like we profess our faith in the creed or to each other in the church, in the home, in the workplace, not based on what we can figure out in our heads, in our hearts, but based on his true word and the truth of his resurrection.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is Senior Editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. Their Sunday School curriculum is called Growing in Christ. You can find out more about Growing in Christ either by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Under the Listen on Demand page, you'll find a link to Growing in Christ, or you can actually get some free samples of Growing in Christ from Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. It's a Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum. When we come back, it's Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. on this Monday afternoon, April the 5th. Dr. John Morris will join us first. The headline reads, Fossil Find May Be Missing Link in Human Evolution. Maybe is a pretty big word here. They say it's the link between ape man and man ape. What is it evolutionists claim to have found another missing link? Does it hold water? We'll see on the other side of the break. Then, have you ever noticed this? Maybe even noticed this in the short conversation with Pam. The various accounts of the resurrection, all four Gospels have accounts of the resurrection. The various accounts are various. They have some differences. Some of them have more people at the tomb. Some of them have angels. Some of them don't. Some of them have Jesus appearing there at the empty tomb. Many don't. Some of them have the women simply running away afraid. So whether it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, how do we reconcile the accounts of the resurrection of Jesus according to the four Gospels? Pastor Bill Swirler will join us in about 20 minutes. To answer that question, I'm Todd Wilkin, Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.